something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
I saw a gorilla pull poo out of its bum.
We talk about Curie Guy.
And we also talk about who Jeremy and I each think is overrated. A rare moment of candor. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, hello!
Hey, bud!
Hey, you're back!
I'm back, and I will confess before we get started, having a bit of West Coast jet lag vibes this morning.
Up late and hard to go to bed, and then waking up at the cracka.
Waking up at the cracka. We got home at 2 a.m. our time. You would know this, and Carol and I were having this conversation. Do you have, after all the years and all the traveling you've done, do you have conclusive evidence to suggest whether going east or west is easier?
Going west is easier for me because the day is still there. Coming east is your day's gone and you're still kind of awake. So I think coming back east is always the worst.
Interesting. I would have argued the opposite.
Really? Like, you feel like if when you're flying to, say, L.A., for example, it's 6 hours or whatever for you. By the time you get there, it's still 7 o'clock, for example. You're like, you're done?
Well, I've been... Is that it? Maybe this is a mistake I'm making. When I've been traveling west lately, as you know, I like to have the day at home before I get on the plane. So I leave home at 4:30 and arrive out west midnight-ish, which is really 4 in the morning for me, so I'm already cooked.
Yeah.
But going east, for example, I left at noon San Diego time, get home at midnight Nova Scotia time, but it's really only 8 for my brain, and then kind of you get home, you settle and go to bed. But I found this morning really hard, and I haven't really been able to put sentences together super well. But I was really excited to do the pod because we didn't get one out last week. And we've both been having some great adventures. So I wanted to catch up.
I mean, you were all over the place. You took the girls all over the zoo. And
Henry.
Where'd you go?
We took Henry, too. And
you took Henry? How's that work? No problems with the airplane and all that stuff?
No
issues with the quarantinis?
You have to have all their shots up to date because you guys are going on a trip, right? Are you thinking of taking Rebel? Yeah.
No. We're leaving them.
You have to have all the shots up to date for sure. You have to let Air Canada know because they only have a certain number of pets per plane that they will allow. I think it's 4. You have to have a carrier for them, obviously.
But then the places you stay, that's the thing too, right?
Hotels we stayed in hotels that were pet friendly. A lot of places in California are. A lot of them have a pet surtax that you pay in case they have to reset the room or something.
You got Lil Mafk. Is it Lil Mafk, too, right? That makes a difference. You only got a little guy.
Well, yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to know that he was in any of the rooms that we were in. But what we always ask ourselves is, is it harder for him to be away from us, or is it harder for him to make the trip? And it depends on the length of the trip and how far away it is from home. In this case, we opted to bring him because we haven't much. Dogs react to gravel in one of two ways. One, they get really fired up, or two, they get low-key. So the last time we took him, we gave him a quarter of a gravel based on our vet's recommendations. And I don't know if it really worked. Didn't really do anything. So this time we actually got the appropriate medication from the vet that can't have the side effect of him getting hyper. So it would just kind of take the edge off. And I don't know if it did anything either. But he was pretty good the whole way. The only thing you should know is if you're going to travel with a pet internationally is we got pulled into secondary screening at the border coming and going. So if you have a tight connection, that does add half an hour to 45 minutes.
The dog's got to look at the dog or what?
Well, yeah, they have to get a look at the dog and they want to make sure that you're not taking the dog down there to pound or not taking him down there to sell. Or you're not coming back with a dog that you didn't have when you went down there. So it's a bit of a dance. But it was nice to have him with us. He's easy to have around, and he's good company, and makes everybody feel like home, and he's part of our family. So glad we took him for sure.
Yeah. There is, you can't take him in places, though, right? Like, you can't even... Can you take dogs into, like... For example, the kids went to Legoland. Can you take the dog to Legoland?
I don't know about Legoland specifically. I'm gonna guess no, but the place that they were really hardcore about it, because California is pretty liberal. Like, we were even in a restaurant for breakfast yesterday morning, and they have a dog dish inside the restaurant because people kind of take their dogs everywhere. I remember
it's a seeing dog. It's a seeing dog, Henry.
Yeah, well, we're his anxiety people. Like, he trembled most of the time. But
oh, man.
I remember the mayor of Santa Monica, when I lived there, wanted to pass legislation because he thought the word pet was demeaning and wanted the word pet legally changed to animal companion. Which is like, that feels pretty California.
That's woke. Well, that's Greg pretty well. Appreciate that.
All that to say, people have so many animal companions everywhere that it's not a big deal. The one place they were crystal clear about not bringing a pet is the zoo, for obvious reasons, because it is effectively an entire space that's in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the San Diego Zoo a couple years ago, and it was pretty cool. But the girls were small enough that we didn't last very long, and we didn't make it very far. I know people say about parenting that every stage is especially cool. And it's true. When they're babies, it's so cool because these tiny little humans, and you don't know, what they're capable of or what they're going to do. Then they start speaking and walking, and those are all neat milestones. I want to tell you, 9 and 7 is a pretty fun age, too, because they still want to party with us, but they have opinions, and they're such good company. They're really fun, nice people to spend time with.
Yeah.
So for the four of us to go to the zoo, it was really heavy. It was a really cool experience. Do you guys go to the Toronto one?
Yeah, we go every year. Did the girls like the gorilla? I saw that great picture of the gorilla.
Yeah.
That gorilla would look like a bod right there.
We all had different have-to-see animals before we went.
Mm-hmm.
Shugs was panda, Indy was zebra. I was lion, and Carol was giraffe. But we were all smitten with the gorillas because they're just so human.
Yeah.
And the wild thing was, there was a trainer there who was off duty, and she was just... We think that some of these people that work at the zoo love the animals so much, even on their days off, they come to hang because they miss them or are worried the animals will miss them or something. So there was a trainer who was standing beside the glass and holding up a picture on a cell phone, and the gorilla would come over and look at the picture on her cell phone and really consider it.
Wow.
They make eye contact with you, and someone asked, like, are they aware of us? And the woman was like, absolutely. They're studying you the same way you're studying them. They have bedrooms, and their bedrooms have TVs in them. And they like to watch Animal Planet on TV in their bedrooms.
No, they don't.
They are so human. It's crazy.
They're domesticated full on. Where
they really are.
They have jobs. They're looking for jobs. He's like, I'm thinking maybe get me a gig here. I can do some of that paperwork you're doing there. Come on, let's do that.
There's one, the male carries a piece of... like burlap around, so he has somewhere soft to sit. Sets it down and like a picnic blanket, kind of smooths it out before he sits on it. There was one sort of like, they feel like when you're watching them, like, oh, they really get us. Like, we speak the same language. We're not that different, you and I. But there was one moment where a lady gorilla turned her back and pooed. In front of the glass wall while everyone's watching.
Of course, yeah.
It was stuck to her behind, and it was a dangler. And it dangled for about 50 seconds, maybe with gusts up to a minute and a half.
TMI girl.
And then finally, she did a reach under and pulled it out by hand. Sure. But it was attached to, like, she must have swallowed a fern or something. It was like, you know, a magician's hanky?
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure.
One of these?
A little too much sugar cane out. Or something? Yeah.
It was like one of those. So it was all in about 3 feet long. It was like a corn stalk.
Oh, God damn.
That she pulled out of herself while people watched and kind of gasped. But it was like a crane teetering over the edge of a building under construction when she first pooed and it was dangling there. Like, it would kind of swing around. And it wasn't falling, and it wasn't falling.
Okay, man. Yeah, I got it.
Anyway, cheers. But that was the only moment where I was like, so I guess we're not exactly the same.
But, I mean, they've been in there, you know, sitting there for a long time. So at that point, they're like, you know what?
What else are you going to do?
If you open the door and let them out, what do you think they would happen? You think they'd go to the food court and ask for burgers?
No, or, I'm going to guess no. They're very food motivated.
I'm going to guess that, like, within 30 seconds, someone's limb's torn off. That's what I'm going to say.
You think?
If they got out of there, yeah.
Well, I know gorilla pit is your default, thing that you would do with people you don't like.
I imagine they're probably not, like, feeling most of the people that are watching.
So you think I'm romanticizing these gorillas?
Well,
it's quite possible.
Guaranteed, they would rather be out in the hanging than in there.
Now, this was the interesting
thing.
They're
smart enough to know that, and I guarantee there'd be some legs. People getting hit with other people's legs.
Well, I was waiting for it to. Oh my gosh! What a terrible image. I kept waiting for one of them to run and, like, give the shoulder to the glass. Like, because you do see that sometimes. They seem
angry,
agitated.
Yeah, for sure.
Carol said, I've told you she's doing natural horsemanship with copper, and they really have a wonderful way of communicating with each other, and they can do tricks side by side without a bridle or bit or saddle or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So she's really tuned into animals' body language. She said when a horse turns its back to you, that's their way of saying, screw off.
So there was
a gorilla that turned its back to us and sat with its back against the glass the whole time.
Yeah.
It was being kind of antisocial. A koala turned its back to us.
That guy's going Ronnie, like my dad, just raging on everyone, like punk rock hate.
Yeah, it was. And then...
If you give the finger, you'd be like this, too, against the wall.
We lined up,
like,
to see
both
the
fingers
panda.
Against the glass.
That was kind of the sentiment. We lined up to see the panda, and when she comes out, I think she's 22, when she comes out and takes her bamboo shoots, she turns her back to the people watching, and the woman describing it was like, I've been here for 22 years, as long as she has. She turns her back while she eats every time because she's shy, and she doesn't like people. She just doesn't.
Yeah.
Bamboo
there is, shoots.
Yeah. There were also... were they baboons? No, orangutans. There's an orangutan named Jessica who's very antisocial. And the dude that they put in with her isn't interested in her because she's so mean and antisocial. So when they put out, like, the leaves and stuff, she'll take everything and climb up the ropes and be like, peace, I'm taking all the snacks, I'm out of here. And the dude's like... We're supposed to be a thing. Like, this could be us, but you stealing all the lettuce.
Yeah, that's it. I'm getting the Jonathan of the Sun face.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Sun face.
Sun face.
But I'm going to tell you something. Seeing a panda from 6 feet away, seeing giraffes from 8 feet away, seeing an elephant pick up a piece of lettuce, like romaine lettuce, with its trunk and curl it up and put it in its mouth... It is humbling and special and cool.
Crushing.
I was excited to go, but it was really a highlight of the trip for all of us, I think.
Yeah, I'll be going down there in March.
Where are you going?
I'll be in San Diego for a couple days. See my bud John Kawaj and do some beaching and some zoo action for the kids.
It's a great town.
Well, we're first in Marina del Rey for a couple days.
Yeah.
Right? Just so we can rip up to Santa Monica or Venice or In-N-Out Burger. And then we're in, I think kind of central, like just between Bevy Hills and Hollywood for the rest of the time. For like, so 2 weeks down there.
So you're flying into LAX?
Yeah.
And you're going to drive down to San Diego?
Yeah.
Nice.
Scoot on down. Got ourselves a little minivan.
Wicked. Just
like not unlike what we tour in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Last time we were there, we flew into LA and rented a, I think it was like a Tahoe or something, and we were driving down the 5 and we blew a tire. Might have even told you about it at the time. That's never happened before. It wasn't like it went flat.
That's rough.
It was like it exploded.
Just explosion.
Yeah, and on the side of the highway with a couple little ones sleeping and cars whizzing by, it was a pretty intense experience. And then this U.S. Marine, Cody Garcia, pulled over behind us and helped. Just like Americanadianity. Just nice. Helped us get it sorted.
Love that stuff.
I do too. It was great.
So yeah, no, we're going to Disneyland and Universal, and maybe we'll squeeze in Legoland as well. It's all nice. The lands. We're doing full on. land after land.
You were asking if I thought your boys, who are a little older, would like Legoland. I asked Carol and the girls, and they both seemed to think that they would. I was under the impression that Legoland was less expensive than Disney. Apparently it's not. Apparently it's about the same.
I looked at the prices. Disneyland's way more.
Is it?
Disneyland's crazy now, yeah. Disneyland is like over $1,000 for, you know, four people.
And there's no shortcut. Like, it is what it is,
nope.
Right?
It's like, unless you're Justin Bieber going down there or something, when you have, like, a hookup there, I don't think there's a way around it.
Right.
And I'm sure that, unless you're a resident of California, then it's like nothing. It's like $50, no sweat.
Really?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what's good about living there, is you can go to Disneyland for nothing compared to the tourists that are there just shelling out hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Well, I was thinking about that.
Minimum 3-day pass, basically. So that's kind of... It's so big. There's so many different parks, right? So you got...
Why do you need a 3-day pass?
That's the minimum that they sell. I don't think there's a 1-day or a 2-day.
To Disney?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever gone for more than one day.
There might be a 1-day entry fee or whatever, or in each park there is, but if you're trying to go and do it, you have to kind of do the... To get the proper passes and all that stuff.
You want a park hop?
Yeah, we're park hopping. The kids want to see it all.
So they want a park hop?
Park hopskies.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there like 4 parks or something like that? It's pretty crazy.
I don't think I've ever been to the one in California.
Yeah,
I've only been to the one in Disney, and I think we've been to Magic Kingdom, and that's it. I don't think we've been to any of the other ones.
I've played the House of Blues there in Anaheim a couple times, but it's like, you know, waking up in the tour bus and go, you know, and I've been to the NAMM show a couple times, which is right down the street, but you just walk past and you don't really see much. I think I might have went in there on a day like during playing the House of Blues, but you don't really get to see much in 4 or 5 hours.
Well, that's how you get tickets, bud. We have to do a TNT live from Disneyland.
Yeah.
So they'll give us tickets and passes.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a San Diego Gulls shirt because the San Diego Gulls are the AHL team in the whatever Pacific West division of the AHL. And they are affiliated with the Anaheim Ducks. And the Gulls were playing the Ontario Reign, Ontario, California. So there were games 3 days in a row when we were there. But when I went to the barn to try to get a San Diego Gulls t-shirt, the team store wasn't open yet.
Oh.
I just always wonder, it's not a great story, but it is a true one. I just always wonder if you're a hockey guy and you're playing in a hot market, like you play for the Marlies, and then you get transferred or traded to the San Diego Gulls.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like hockey outside. They don't draw. You're not under as much scrutiny.
It goes from like 10, you know, people with notepads when you're finished the game to nobody.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference. Or maybe a couple guys from Canada.
Yeah, who are just stoked to get that kind of access. But the lifestyle must be pretty good, right?
In the AHL?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably pretty strenuous because there's a lot of roads.
I guess I mean living in San Diego.
Well, yeah, but then once you hit the bus, it's like gets real. And it's like they're not staying in 5-star places.
They're not, are they?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it's not easy street. You know what I mean?
I watched a documentary on Air Canada on the way home last night on HBO, the 24/7 series. It was Student Athlete is what it was called. And it was about NCAA athletes at various stages. One was kind of a retired wide receiver. One was a high school 6'8" center prospect. One was like second year, hurt his back and has to stop playing basketball or will never walk again. One was a coach. There was this guy who was a coach whose name escapes me, John Shoup maybe. And in his 20s, he was a coach in the NFL. And he got a call from North Carolina. The head of athletics there said, if you quit the NFL and come coach for me, you'll be the coach you want to be, you'll be the father you want to be, you'll be the husband you want to be, because the lifestyle that we can promise you is what you should be after. So he goes there, and after 2 years, this athletics fraud scandal hit. You might remember it, where it was like, wait a sec, why do these 40 football players have Swahili 101 on their transcripts, and that's not even a course that we offer, like completely made up. They did a deep dive. It was awful. A bunch of athletes were banned, whatever. So this coach was suddenly fired and now can't get hired. He became an advocate for these athletes because most athletic programs in D1 schools in the States make $100 million a year. Most of the student athletes are living at or below the poverty line. They're not allowed to sell their likeness on t-shirts or their signature. They're not allowed to get ads on Instagram. There was this one guy, I know we have to take a break, but it was just fascinating. This one guy went to Baylor University as a walk-on. So he wasn't recruited, didn't have a scholarship. He went as a walk-on, and he made the team. In his first game, most walk-ons don't even play. As he said, they're usually kind of the practice tackle dummies. In his first game, he not only got on, but he got a touchdown. Second game, he got 2 touchdowns. A friend of his heard he was living in his car because it's so expensive to go to school there. The friend's grandparents were like, well, we'll help him out. We'll help him out with some money. So they gave him $1,000 a month to help with his rent and stuff. NCAA found out was an infraction, and he was suspended. He couldn't play anymore. So he had to play 3 years in order to be draft eligible. He didn't. He couldn't play again. He couldn't become draft eligible. He was a star, and he was like, he ended up playing in Germany for $200 a week or something.
Awful.
And the worst part is these guys often come out of school with chronic pain and not an ability to get a job that comes with medical benefits. And I will leave you with this, Jeremy Taggart. 91,000 male athletes played football and basketball in NCAA in 2017. How many were drafted by the NFL or the NBA of those 91,000? Guess.
Like 48 or something like that?
It's 300.
Yeah, there you go.
Imagine all those other dudes, 90,000 dudes coming out the other side of that going, yeah, well, and now what?
Yeah, but even of those 300, for them to get, you know, legitimate contracts to the point where they're making money and not, don't have to worry about money. It's a pretty small percentage of that.
Super small. Part.
Yeah. Yikes.
I will leave you before we take a break.
That's the roll of the dice with sports though, man. I think everyone knows that, right? It's like going into a casino and at least you have some control. So I don't know. It's like playing poker or something.
Well, it really is, because those guys were saying, you call us student athletes, but we don't have time to be students because we're so busy being athletes. And they have, like, the coaches are making $11 million. They have leather furniture and 100-inch flat screens in the locker room.
Yeah.
That one school built a $150 million training facility, and the kids don't have money to eat, and a lot of them are living in their cars or you know, living way below the poverty line. Yeah. It was crazy.
That's why they,
anyway, just stuff you don't think about.
They're making a lot of money, not sharing the profits with the players, that's for sure.
So, Jer, I'm going to take us to break by doing what the Air Canada flight attendant did when everyone walked off the plane last night. You ready?
Okay, I'll pretend I'm walking.
Take care, okay?
Oh, don't do that, Faye. I'm doing Sun Guy for the listeners.
He did baby lips, baby bottom pout lip. Take care, okay?
Sun Guy is when the sun's in my face on
like
the
he
camera.
Was so sad he was never going to get to see us again. Take care, okay?
The pouty lips, though.
Take care, okay?
Oh.
Take care, okay?
You got your lip.
See you again, okay?
Pursed down. The big. But what? It's.
Baby lip. There are two things that people do all the time in public, and I can't think of a single reason why they would. The first is baby lip. Like, say someone is around and they do something cute, you turn to the person beside you with your lower lip sticking out.
Yeah.
The second is baby claps. And
the
you
lower?
See this, yes, with usually it's grown women. When something happens, it's like,
is it small?
Small baby claps. Like, oh, yay, we got cake for dessert. Don't do
but
that.
Pouting means like something bad happened. Like, you're leaving. Is that what it is? Like, I'm going to miss you?
Well, maybe? Sometimes that, but then it's sometimes, can you believe how cute that is?
I think it's like, oh, I don't get to hang out with you.
Why do you do baby lip?
Never.
You're on camp baby lip.
It feels different to do it. No, I'm saying that's why the guy was doing it to you.
Yeah, but think of how insincere that is for a flight attendant on Air Canada to stick out his baby lip and be like, take care, okay? Like, he's so sad he'll never see us again. All 288 of us. Give
hey,
me
man.
A break.
That's it. You gotta sell
Jesus
something.
Jesus Christ!
What would you say if you were the guy like trying to mix up? See ya.
Well, it is.
All right.
It's bye-bye.
Have a good one.
It's bye-bye. Peace. Is the gist of it. Bye-bye.
Have a nice night.
Bye-bye. Take care. See ya.
What's going on?
How about the whispered? See ya. Or excuse me, in a grocery store. Excuse me. Excuse me. When you're sneaking by someone. Excuse me. What do you do?
Hello. Excuse me?
No, if you're cutting in front of someone in the grocery store, I'll tell you exactly what I do.
I say sorry. Oh, excuse me.
And then
sorry.
Do you do a fake half jog run?
I try to get out of the way. If I'm like crossing and there's a car stop.
Yeah, I do a shrug and a jog.
I'll give a hot,
oh, sorry.
I'll give a hot step. Yeah,
for sure. To make it
somehow
look like you're at least trying.
That's like a pay it forward energy thing where it's like, good stuff. Give me some back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to get out of the way.
Better than that, than like, what do you want me to do, face, and then walking slower? Like, that causes just a big fart of bad energy.
What if someone lets you go and you stop and give them a baby lip? Like, thank you so much. That's so cute that you let me go.
Then it's like, what's going on here? Is that flirting?
Or you give them baby claps.
Have you ever flirted in the, like between cars with a girl? Like,
no.
When you were dating ever? Like looking for, like, hey, how's it going? And anything ever happened from cars?
No, you?
A couple times, cars still like, how's it going? Hey. And you start talking.
Then what? I'm gonna get a shake at Burger King, pull over? Like,
yeah,
how do you do that?
No. Just like, well, it's not like when it's like on like fast moving traffic, more like you're walking or they're in the car or you're in the car and they're walking, one of those ones.
Have you been a scrub?
What's a scrub? The one walking or the one in the car?
You've been a scrub? Where people, you're
I don't
like
know, maybe.
Hanging out
I
the side
know.
Of your best friend's ride?
Well, I mean,
to
like,
at somebody?
I like hopping on the back of a truck, like of a party wagon
no.
style.
Really?
Well, one time, yeah, I got in the back of a truck in like Montana or something. It was like at night though, and it's like.
I remember it was a Tarps Off party. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, big party.
So it's not a regular occurrence.
No, but it happened. You asked if it ever happened. The
I
stuff
always
like that.
I always imagined writing the first scene of a movie where the meet cute was either a guy or a girl stopped at a red light beside the other one, and then they deliberately hit the other person. So they have to get out and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I guess I wasn't paying attention. But they really got in an accident for the sole purpose of meeting someone. I'm sure
or that's happened. Or like Wasega Beach, like those cars where there's people just driving by. I've gotten in the cars there a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a spider. You know, one of those three-wheeled motorbikes?
I'm gonna ride the boardwalk all
cruise
day.
Up and down, yeah, with Carol and the girls. And see if we can, like, flirt with
people. Well, I don't know if it's like that anymore. This is back in the day. It's probably not like that anymore.
Right.
Maybe. Remember, hey, there's, like, the slow traffic of just people just hanging out.
You should try it with your rental van when you're in California.
They just do laps. People just do laps because that's part of it.
Where is it? Oh, it must be Daytona. They do laps like, on the beach, right?
For sure.
Driving on the beach.
Joe and Gino would do that on like a Saturday. Let's go up to Wasega. Get in the car.
And just have and a just look.
Just do laps with the top down in the black car.
My friend Mark Howlett had an RX-7.
We should do a Joe and Gino of them doing laps
at Wasega Beach.
Wasega Beach.
Oh, I told you this before about Mark Howlett and the RX-7. And he used to blast Chow Edie by The Cult.
Oh,
you
nice.
You know, the first the instrumental bars
Chow
of that.
Edie.
And he had the loudest stereo system I've ever heard in my life. And we're inching along University Avenue in Charlottetown. I never felt more alive or like I was a part of something.
Oh.
The wind blow at your feet, Edie.
It's so cheesy.
But it was cool.
Like, I love The Cult, but that one's a little bit cheese.
And you're not there.
Because that's the one. Yeah, we've talked about that song before, I think. Isn't that the video where there's the guitar standing there, acoustic, just sitting there on the stage up, and he walks up to it and plays it, and then backs up to the
Does
electric?
He?
I think so, yeah.
So, I know it goes from acoustic to electric. Oh, let me see funny. If I can get it going here for a second. It's such a jam.
Oh, you're getting Edie going? Go to the video then. If you're doing it, do the video.
Don't tell me what to do or what to not do.
If you're gonna do it, do it. Right?
Don't tell me what to not do. How do I skip the ad?
You gotta volume down and wait.
Okay,
sometimes.
Here it goes.
Everywhere's so still, so low tech.
Remember?
Is he got the guitar? Is he standing up? Yeah, that's on the stand.
There's a classical quintet on the sidewalk in New York.
Yes. Nope. Is the live thing, the guitar just sitting there?
Now imagine...
It ain't Ian.
Imagine this gets going at like 1,000 dBs in a small enclosed space in this RX-7. But I think it had T-tops. And he had the big, fat back tires. So he could lay down some rubber
Same
snakes.
Thing, man. I had two Italian buddies, Carlo and his friend Gino. And Carlo was a drummer. And we would sit in his RX-7 I think it was like the Trans Am or one of those ones. And he would rip like Journey and Skid Row. He would rip Don't Stop Believing into...
I'm so into that, though.
Into Youth Gone Wild.
I'm so into that.
Don't Stop Believing, and then Youth Gone Wild, like back and forth, and then like, oh man, I gotta hear that again, and starting your Don't Stop Believing again.
So where were
just
you
driving around in like Weston and Finch?
Don't stop believing. Two cars coming up to the red light, both blasting the same song, but two bars apart. Don't stop.
And they were like, they weren't like singing, like they were like more like just sitting there, like not moving, like
just taking it in.
Like no singing and like look, you know, crying or nothing, just like it's chill.
Just like, yeah.
And they both had huge long hair.
Where are Carlo and Gino tonight?
I don't know. But they were probably drumming, and I can't remember what the other guy did.
So what, you went to junior high with them?
No, we just rehearsal space. I used to go to the rehearsal space and hang out there. that was where the guy... actually, I heard the guy... I don't want to say his name, but let's say his name was... His first name was Dom, okay?
Yeah.
And he'd, like, get his girlfriend to come over, and she would, like, watch him practice. And then he would like have sex with her on the couch.
No.
And then like they'd eat, like order in like Chinese food and something, and then like,
oh dear,
have sex again, and then he'd like play drums for her some more.
No. What was wrong it's with
kinda,
her?
What do you mean? It's kind of like that was the thing. They were just hanging out. He's like, gonna play drums. We're gonna fuck. Then we're gonna get some Chinese food. Then we're gonna fuck again. And then I gotta play drums for you again.
Oh no. What a terrible evening.
Come on over. I'll play drums and then we're gonna fuck. And then we're gonna get some Chinese food. And then we can fuck again. And then we can watch me play drums. I can play some Uriah Heep covers.
I understand why that is his idea of a good time. But why would she ever sign up for that?
She probably loved it.
What is to love?
She loved watching him just get down on the drums, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
What are people doing and like going like this in the crowd all the time?
I guess.
You don't do that, but you got a guy just playing along to some... He probably had her on... She had the headphones of like Zeppelin and shit, and he was like playing along. It's actually a pretty good way to wheel.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's like, he was a great drummer, so he just like ripped like Deep Purple songs.
But why does she want to see that?
Because it's like being at a concert. Because he's crushing it.
I guess. Was his name Dom?
Yes.
Was it? He's kind of my hero all of a sudden. Here's how it's going to go down. You come over around 7:30. I'll put the order in then. And I'll drum while it's on the way. As soon as the delivery guy leaves, the food's still too hot, so we'll do our thing. Then we'll eat. Then I'll drum. Then we'll do it again. Then I'll call you a taxi.
No, she'd like take the bus.
Oh, don't say that.
Why, everybody did. I did.
Well, I did too.
Oh man, that's good stuff. Maybe he drove home.
So was he a good drummer though?
Yeah, fantastic.
Really?
Good. Yes. Like he could crush it in any band I know, like any rock band.
That might be my new favorite part of the story.
That he killed it?
Yeah. Is he still drumming?
I don't know. I don't know, man. He's great.
And tell me about his lady friend. Was she, like, where is she today, if you had to guess?
I don't know. I'm not sure, man. We might not, like, it could have been a few different girls, to be honest. Like...
Like, that was his move?
Sure, yeah.
Dom invited me for Chinese food. What do you think that means?
I don't know. He'd probably, like, play Rock and Roll Heaven or something, doing Zeppelin covers or whatever. Whoever was, like, he'd meet a girl there. And that's how it would start.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you ever across a song that you can't drum to...
Well, nowadays, there's, like... Thundercat and shit like that. I don't even know what's going on.
Because it's
like
electric?
Justin Brown. No, it's just so fast. There's a lot of guys like Aaron Spears and Ariana Grande's drummer. Like they're playing so fast. It's just like, or like the really crazy metal drummers are like, and their feet are going that. Like I can't do that shit, man.
Really?
No way. Never. Not in a million years, man. No way.
Because like, you couldn't it up?
It's just too fast. But it's not even, like, I just never, I think you have to want to do it, you know what I mean? Right? And to me, There's a drum teacher, like the Milford Graves, I think his name is. Anyway, he talks about your drumming heartbeat rate, and you kind of, whatever you sit down and play music, whatever the tempo that you feel most natural is kind of generally in line with your heartbeat rate.
Wow.
So I feel connected, I guess, to that tempo and my favorite tempos and tempos that I can play and tempos that I can't play. Just that's the way it works with, I think most drummers is like there's some guys, I think only like Buddy Rich or something like that could maybe do everything, but there's like one end of the spectrum, which is, you know, a certain type, and there's other types of drumming that's just completely different, slow styles or different kind of rhythmic culture styles.
Why does Ariana Grande need a monster?
Most of the drummers that are backing pop stars and bands at that level are all really serious drummers.
Is it just because she can afford it or because she actually needs it?
No, because he's great, and I'm sure he's played with lots of other artists that brought it to there. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably played with 6 or 7 artists that are like her, or the band leader that she hired, you know, picks his favorite guys.
Right.
For example, my friend Stacy Jones, who was American Hi-Fi, and he used to be in Veruca Salt, and he's a great drummer and a great friend. But he does that, puts bands together for tours and puts production together. And I think he did, like, he's done Train, and he did that 30 Seconds of Summer band or whatever. He did
5 Seconds
band
of Summer?
He did that band when they were here for the MMVAs. He's always in town doing different tours and stuff, but that's the kind of people that hire those musicians. It's usually someone who's been in the business for a long time that hires people that are reliable and really good. So
would you consider doing something like that?
For the right situation, I would, yeah.
Like, but you get a call today, Shawn Mendes needs a guy for his world tour. Would you do it? You'd have to.
It would be a money issue. Be whether he'd be willing to spend what I would want is more the issue. It's like Justin Bieber, whatever, Shawn Mendes, The Weeknd. It's like, unless they're willing to spend the money to be able to realize that you're comfortable and you're away from your family and you're not coming back home, you know, with not that much, you know, that's just not worth it. So it has to, it's not cheap to be on the road, but if you're, I think when you're in my position and you've played a long time, it's like, I'm not going to go out for sitting around and, you know, talking to my kids on FaceTime 3-4 days a week and coming back home with like a couple $1,000, like, yeah. It's just not worth it, you know. Yeah. So it'd have to be the right situation for it to work, definitely.
That must be a great gig, though, in some ways, to get on tour of that magnitude. Like, the hotels must be nicer, the food must be better.
Oh,
like,
sure,
all that stuff.
Totally. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But, I mean, there's musicians out there that are doing tours like that for, you know, not that much money that you'd think, like a couple $1,000 a week, which is a lot to someone working a job where you're doing something locally. But to be out on the road and, like you said, living in those types of hotels, like, and you're in a neighborhood when you're in Rodeo Drive on a day off to go get a coffee, and it's $15 and you're making $2,500 a week, and you go to a restaurant with your boys and all of a sudden there's $300 gone because it's like you had to buy some drinks because someone bought you drinks or someone bought dinner for you. It's just expensive. You want to buy some clothes. You got to be on point on tour and all that stuff. That's expensive. So better be more than $2,500 a week to think you're actually, it's going to benefit you in the long run, you know?
Could you, because I know you're very true to yourself and your likes and dislikes, could you, for the right amount of money...
That's me, by the way. Like, I'm not talking about a kid who doesn't have a family, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. If you're 22, I think about that all the time. If I was 22 and looking for adventure, I'd go teach up north for a year.
Yeah,
I'll go live somewhere crazy where you could save
a bunch
of money. For
example, what I said to you is like, hey, Jonathan, come on, you just come on the road and just talk every night and we'll give you $3,000 a week. What do you think?
Yeah.
You'd be like, I don't know, man, I'm gone and I understand that's a lot of money per month, but like, it's not, you know, there's other ways when you can be home with your family to you know, pay for Disneyland.
Yeah, for sure.
Go on trips.
Well, I guess the way I can relate is I get called sometimes to audition for things or to host things that are not especially inspiring or they don't really get my oxygen going.
Yeah.
But it is how I make a living, and you just have to decide if the good of it outweighs the bad. And I think for both of us, being away for extended periods at this particular juncture is not awesome.
No.
Could you
I'm not saying, like, there's definite situations where it can be comfortable. And there's guys out there that make a lot of money. What you wouldn't, you know, realize. Like, they be playing with a band that you're like, oh, I know that band, but they're making, like, $7,000 U.S. a week. You know,
yeah.
That's a different level where you can, like, oh, all right, you know, I'm gone for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but I can afford to bring my family out 2 weekends of that. You know what I mean? It's worth it at that level.
Who is, just for example, who do you think is not a great band or seriously overrated, or you just, every time they come on, you don't like their music?
Why would you ask that all
because
of a
I have a B-part question.
Okay. Does this entail you divulging somebody like this?
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah.
Or, okay, I say a band and then you say an actor?
Who's overrated? Sure.
Okay, a band that I hear that's overrated. Well, Maroon 5, in my opinion,
okay,
are
perfect.
Overrated.
Yeah. So, yeah. Maroon 5...
But I don't hate them or anything. I don't care.
Maroon 5 is doing an in-residence show in Toronto for 18 months. And they need a drummer. And the rate is good. Could you do it?
Sure. For $8,000 a week.
Really?
Yeah. Then you're home in bed every night. I'll play the shit out of that stuff. Gong,
gong. Oh, sweet. Gong, gong.
Look at me.
Yeah,
you'll take your shirt off. Take your shirt off again, Adam.
You'll have
go
a bill folder, bill counter behind your drum kit. Just counting that money. Count that money, boy.
Got another tattoo I see, eh, Adam? Another cheesy fucking tattoo.
You know, it does raise the question of the Super Bowl halftime show, and maybe the Super Bowl is going to be old news by the time this comes out. It probably already is. But I feel like NFL starts concocting the Super Bowl halftime show every year with the phrase, we should do something that's like a little something for the ladies. That's what it reeks of for me. And performer like Beyonce or Lady Gaga, great. They were both phenomenal. But when it's, I don't know, when it's Maroon 5... This is my theory about Adam Levine.
I think Adam Levine was awkward about that. There was something weird about him taking his shirt off.
It's like I think he thinks he's Drake.
When Jim Carrey does it.
Adam Levine thinks he's Drake.
Or Tupac.
But you can hear it. You can hear it in their last few songs because he does these... Gonna spend the weekend with you. A. He does A's in between... musical phrases, and it's exactly what Drake does, like those
But that's every hip hop artist now does.
I know, but Maroon 5 is not a hip hop artist. Why are they doing hip-hop stuff?
Because it's popular music.
I guess.
That's what they do.
But I think with the tattoos and the... He takes off the shirt and with the tattoos and what have you, I think he's doing his idea of Drake. I think he's trying to be extra hip-hop.
The bottom line is... Can you handle his brand or not? Is what he's trying to say. Can you handle this brand of Adam Levine's?
This is what happened with Adam Levine for me. Because you know we watch The Voice in our house and we love it. Adam Levine this year had three contestants left. One of his contestants wasn't able to sing because she was sick. Another of his contestants sang. And they're supposed to make a plea after the person sings to say, this is why this person should get to stay in the contest. So this guy sings, and Adam says, that was good, but I feel like I need to use this time to make a case for the girl who's sick who couldn't sing. And it was incredibly rude, and he's a very competitive guy, but it was just a really... greasy move, and kind of dishonorable moment in the show, and that kind of made me look at Adam Levine differently. Not that I was going on a Maroon 5 cruise anytime soon, but... I don't know. I wasn't feeling that at all.
I met him a couple times. I find him just to be kind of like so into his own trip that he's got heavy lead singer syndrome.
Oh no, LSS.
He's got bad.
Where did you meet Adam Levine?
In LA a few times. I'd hung out with the guitar player. I think it was the guy with the long hair, or the guy that looks like the guy with the long hair that had long hair before. But anyway, just like it. Parties and stuff, and I'd see Adam was back then. They were just starting out. It was like that, whatever their first song was happening. And
what was their first song?
They played it last night. I don't know that. Down 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 down. One of those ones.
I'm imagining you performing this at the Hummingbird Center.
Yeah, exactly.
7 nights a week plus 2 matinees for 18 months.
The guys in the band were cool. How about the guy in the back, like playing with wearing just like a hoodie he just found like on the hamper this morning at the Super Bowl? The guy on the keyboards?
Not caring.
But yeah, I just always found Adam to be just kind of whatever salad type. You know, he's just driving his ship and don't get in the way of it or else, you know, you get blown up because it's just the Adam Levine show.
But if you are the guy or gal in charge of the Super Bowl halftime show, it is a bit of a landmine to try to figure out what you do. You either have to go so broad and uninteresting and vanilla that it appeals to nobody in an attempt to appeal to everyone, or you go super niche. Like I heard the Foo Fighters blew the roof off the place Saturday night, but they're probably too... I don't know, loud or whatever for the Super Bowl halftime show. So do you do a medley?
Have they not played? I don't know. I thought they did. They did, didn't they?
Do you pick an act from every decade? Like how?
No, I think you can't go wrong if you pick the great, like for U2, for example, or you know,
legacy acts,
the Eagles,
Aerosmith,
the Stones. Like you can't really go wrong with those type of artists, but. I don't know. I guess everybody said no. I could see Drake, people liking Drake, but he probably would never do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't think?
Drake seems to be popular with the kids, mostly.
Oh, no. Drake seems to be popular with the kids.
You'd have to ask Gordon Lightfoot to try and get Drake, though, because that's kind of the new That's the score.
I wonder if Gord was ever like, you're going to come over... I'm going to practice finger picking. We're going to have some Chinese food.
Yeah, you take care of the beat. That's all he says to him. I'll do the rest.
Wow. Let's take a break, bud.
Hey, bud. Bam, bam, bam. That orange part.
Elijah.
Yeah?
I need you to look me in the eye, buddy. I know you don't like talking about what's going on at school, but I got a call from Mr. Dernstein again today. This is the third time this week. And buddy, every time we have the same conversation where you say it won't happen again, and you look me in the eye, because I get you to look me in the eye, and you say it won't happen again, and guess what? It happens again.
No, so I didn't, though.
If you were me, if you were me, what would you do with you? Answer me that.
I would say, you know what?
Well, that's not good enough. Okay?
I'd say, next time you better not do it. But this time...
But I've said that. I've said that till I'm blue in the face. So, I want you to go to your room, and I want you to just think about what you've done, okay? And think about if you were me, and think about if you were mommy, what
All right,
you
okay.
would do. Because we're out of options. I don't know how to help you help yourself. Are you listening to Mr. Mister again? Elijah. I swear, Sharon, this is the only thing that makes this kid feel better is Kyrie eleison. Did you know, loosely translated, it means Lord have mercy? We are the ones who should be saying Kyrie eleison, not him. We are the ones that need the Lord to have mercy on us, because I am fed up with this kid. I don't know what to do with this kid. It's also not very age appropriate. Like, how does he even know Mr. Mister? This is the music of my generation. Elijah? I do like that part. The... Well, now, see what he's done? He's turned it up so loud that he won't even hear us when we're knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Elijah!
Okay now. It's okay now.
One chorus, Elijah. You get one chorus. And then I want you to tell me what it is you've learned thinking about it. Four.
Yeah.
Kyrie. Kyrie.
Shut up, Dad!
Will you follow?
Shut up, Dad!
Okay, there's one chorus, buddy. Turn it off. You turn off the Mr. Mister. You turn it off.
Okay.
What
I
have
did
you
it.
Learned?
Okay. I'm okay now. I learned now. I learned. Wow.
I know Dr. Bill Flapp told you in moments like this, go to your room and do something that makes you feel good. I just don't know why it's Mr. Mister.
Wow, Dad. Wow. I'm better now, Dad.
That's all it took?
It won't happen again, Dad. It won't happen again, I promise.
Okay, but I've heard this won't happen again stuff from you before. Okay? All I'm trying to do is take these broken wings.
Don't, Dad, don't. It's okay now, it's okay. Don't, I don't need it again.
I'm just trying to take these broken wings. And
I don't need that, and I don't need anymore. Dad, don't. I'm good now.
Okay, Elijah. Because Kyrie lays on my soul.
Stop it, Dad. I'll need it again.
I'm just saying. Good chatting, bud.
Okay.
By the way, you know who mine is? Yours was Maroon 5.
What is it?
I'm going to drop a hot tamale on my way out the door this week.
What?
Might cause controversy. Do you know who I think is grossly overrated?
Who cares?
Kevin Hart. Don't get it. There's only room for one heart in my heart, and that's Corey. Kevin? No. Just no. It is a good song. Good chat, bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow. Bananas,
bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them.
Yeah.